The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. Liverpool still in search of their first win of the season as they could only manage a 1-1 draw at Anfield against Crystal Palace. They'd have to come from behind to do so as well. Zaha opening the scoring. Liverpool bossed the game pretty much, but on the counter, Zaha, beautiful finish to make it 1-0. In the second half, a clearly frustrated Darwin Nunez, who had a couple of big chances with the headbutt. He'd be sent off. Moments later, though, a brilliant goal from Diaz would give Liverpool the point. Don Hutchinson is with us. Don, I'll go to you in a moment, but Stevie, I want to start with you first. How are you feeling?
Completely and utterly deflated. This is a game that Liverpool had to win. They should have won it, but as much as they dominated, they actually didn't look as though they were going to score, in all honesty. They had some chances. They weren't chances where you're going. How did he miss that?
Darwin Nunez just for the break, that chance that he had when he hit the post.
Nunez had a couple of chances that had he had more composure on his finish, he may have scored. He did have one where he pulled it down in the second half, but I think you've got to give credit to the defender. And so I'm talking about Nunez not having composure with his finish, and he certainly got sent off with lack of composure because he's headbutted his opponent. Mo Salah at 0-0 should have scored with a header, a free header, 7 yards out. So if you take those chances, then this probably turns out a different way. But as I said, I didn't feel as though Liverpool were going to score, and it took just an incredible goal from Diaz to actually eventually get the ball in the back of the net.
What's wrong?
I think that we expect Liverpool to be Manchester City every time they step on the field. But actually recently and I'm talking about the end of last season and now the start of this season, they haven't been close to it. They haven't been close to the best. You know, they didn't score in the Champions League, they didn't score in the FA Cup final. You know, last weekend they didn't look like Liverpool at all.
Right.
And in this game today, yes, they dominated possession-wise, but you know what? You don't win the championship by dominating possession. You win the championship by scoring goals, taking advantage of your domination, and winning games. And Liverpool have drawn two games, and in both games, they haven't looked great going forward, particularly.
It doesn't help that we're talking about the part of going forward. But defensively, Liverpool is allowing goals far too often and sometimes far too early in the game where they seem to be trailing, they seem to have the need to come back in order for them to get points. And eventually, you're not going to find the explosive, dynamic productivity in the final third. There are times in which you're not going to score the goals. And to me, as much as I look at Liverpool as a team that perhaps is not creating as many opportunities as they should, they're also giving up opportunities themselves. If you look at Wilfried Zaha today, there were at least three or four opportunities where if he takes a better touch on the ball or makes a better decision, he is scoring a second goal. And then he had the one where he's sliding in with his right foot rather than sliding with his left foot and hits it off the post and out. So while it is disappointing for Liverpool that they got a point out of this game, you could actually argue that they were fortunate at times to get that point, because Crystal Palace had the more clear chances, and Wilfried Zaha, though he took his first chance really well, yep, there were a couple other chances that he did not take very well at all.
Is Darwin Nunez going to be okay?
Yeah. He's young. He's got a lot of growing to do, Dan. The guy's got quality. Yes, he's a handful. But you know what? With youth comes a lot of teething problems.
Right.
And one of them being what goes on in your head, your composure, whether it's composure when you're in front of goal, or whether it's composure on the field of play when somebody's trying to rub you up the wrong way and you take the bait. So Darwin Nunez is going to be fine.
What's going to happen though over the next three games, Tom, where he's suspended? What if Liverpool go on, win those three games comfortably? How does that change the dynamic of the season going forward?
Well, I don't think it changes the dynamic too much. Klopp would bite your hands off for that, Dan. But I think what I'm seeing now with Liverpool, and it's hard to try and criticise the job that Jurgen Klopp's done over the years, it's been sensational. But I looked at Liverpool probably 18 months ago, but more so the start of this season, where I'm thinking you've probably only got three players on the pitch that can score a goal. The midfield players do not score goals for Liverpool. You know, you look at Man City, the team that they're chasing, the team that everyone wants to compare them to. They've got people like Kevin De Bruyne and Bernardo Silva. They've got goals all over the park. Liverpool's three throughout the years have been efficient by closing down, working hard, supplying the front three, and those are the guys that get the goals. You know, it's very difficult to keep going into a Premier League game every single week relying on three guys to score. And Jurgen Klopp's come out this week, he said they're scouring the earth for midfield players, they're trying. You know, maybe they want to try and wait for someone like Jude Bellingham or Declan Rice next season. But I just look at that midfield at the moment, and it doesn't matter which three play, they don't score any goals, Dan, and that's the worry for me.
Is that a concern, Steve? They finished with a point of City without midfield scoring goals last season.
Yeah, they did, but it's very difficult, as Don said, to complain about what Liverpool do.
Right.
But the fact is that in recently, it hasn't been working to the level of what it was. And in order to get back to that, I think not only do you need new faces, but you 100% need a little injection of personality. And if you look at Liverpool's midfield, it's blank. It's blank. It's just a bunch of guys that run around. There's no real, I don't see any real diversity in it.
Right.
It's just a bunch of guys that chase and get the ball and try and give it to the front.
Well, Thiago offers that diversity, doesn't he? Obviously, injured at the moment.
When he's playing.
Right.
Thiago hasn't played. Has he played two games in a row since he came?
I'm sure he has.
I'll tell you what. All right, I'll give him a maximum of three games.
Right.
But after that, we're looking at runners winning the ball. That's what we're looking at. And so, eventually, you just don't get away with that. Particularly when your front three are struggling to score goals, you need somebody or somebody to chip in, whether it's your midfield or your back line. And it ain't coming from the middle of the park. Yep. That's what Keita was bought for.
Right.
100%, that's why Naby Keita was bought by Jurgen Klopp. To not only get around the field and win the ball back, but get in the box and score some goals. And he hasn't delivered. And as Klopp said, they're not easy to find, those guys.
Can I go back to Darwin Nunez for a second?
No, we got to move on.
Okay.
No.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. I think he's got to calm down, first of all. He just has to settle down. What we're seeing in some of the sequences in front of goal where he seems like he's rushing, he seems like he's slashing at the ball, he's just taking a swipe at it, it's because he wants to do so well, so badly, so soon.
Right.
He's still a kid, didn't he?
Yeah. And so you bought me for all this money, and here I am. I'm excited. I'm at Liverpool. I want to prove that I belong here. And so he's trying to do 10 things at a time. So maybe, and I know this is very glass half full, maybe the fact that he gets this red card, and he's going to be suspended, he's not going to be around for the next few games, it allows him to actually calm down, for there to be a conversation with Jurgen Klopp and say, hey, Darwin, this is not what we do here, okay? You're going to be good for us, and this is how you're going to be good for us. He has to settle down. The talent is there, and you see some of the movement, and you say, okay, there are certain things that he brings to this team. But in front of goal, where you need to be calm, where you need to show composure, he's been all over the place. It's almost as if there are 10 thoughts going through his head rather than just reacting and doing the thing that has been instinctive for him in the past.
Liverpool still to win the title, Don?
I knew you were going to say that. Listen, how can I back out of it? I mean, 108 points to play for with two games in. I mean, what was City clear last season? Was it 15 points? And they got it all the way back to one. I'm not giving up on them just yet.
Steve, what's wrong with your face?
Don't.
It's just when you said Liverpool to win the title. I can't honestly my brain didn't go, yes. I'm a little worried already.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a little worried already.
But one optimism, oh, how good was Luis Diaz's goal?
Oh, well, how many players do you see waltzing past four defenders, another one comes across, yeah. He waltzes past him, he's still got another defender who appears in front of him, and he's still got to beat the goalkeeper as well. And he does it easily.
Yeah.
And he puts it in the bottom corner with pace. I mean, it's a world-class goal. World-class.
You were just referring to the midfield players as being bland. When I look at Luis Diaz, there's nothing bland about him.
No.
In this game in particular, when they go down to 10 men, he scores a goal, and it almost felt like single-handedly he was bringing this team back.
Yep.
That, look, let's win the ball again. Let's press again. Let's go and take it again. Let's create another opportunity. We're going to win this game. There's a certain attitude about Luis Diaz that if you're a Liverpool fan, you have to love.
Yeah, very much so.
Cold heart.
Mm. There you go. Thank you very much for that, Stephen. I appreciate it. Just a reminder then, ESPN FC with you every single day. Be sure to join us tomorrow. I'm sure more reaction to what we saw today at Anfield and indeed the rest of the big talking points from across the world of football.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Athletic kicked off their campaign. They look good with a 3-0 victory over Getafe. Alvaro Morata back from his loan spell at Juventus with a brace. Antoine Griezmann getting a goal as well. João Félix with all three assists for the goals. This was good, Ali. Is this it?
I can tell you this. This was as perfect as it could have been for Atletico Madrid,
yeah.
First game of the season. What were the questions coming in for this team? Some of the major questions were, João Félix, what is his role within this team? Well, today we saw what his role was, playing underneath Álvaro Morata. Who's going to score the goals? Well, is it going to be Álvaro Morata? According to today, yes, it is Álvaro Morata, because not only did he score the goals, it's the confidence with which he took the opportunities. And what I thought was really good from Atletico Madrid today is that they were willing to press higher up the field, forcing turnovers. And once they forced those turnovers, they were willing to go on the attack right away. Now, after they scored their first goal, they started kind of going back to sitting and absorbing some pressure, but came out of that, scored the second goal. There was a team that was full of confidence, really feeling like the players in the final third were able to combine well together. And João Félix, three assists. Yep. Álvaro Morata, two goals. And a stress-free win for Atletico Madrid against a bottom-half team. That wasn't happening last year.
Mm.
They were struggling against those kind of teams. Today, stress-free, no issues, perfect start of the season.
And Griezmann with a goal as well.
Which, that in itself, if you're Diego Simeone and you go back to whatever your thoughts were and your game plan, and you were saying, okay, if we can get Morata and João Félix playing together, and then we can bring Antoine Griezmann off the bench, maybe he can get involved. Yeah, he got involved. And yeah, he scored a goal. Yeah. Griezmann scored a goal today for Atletico Madrid. It was as good a performance as you could have hoped for if you're Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you too. You're not super positive, are you?
Oh, just because
Atletico Madrid.
Well, just because Liverpool can't buy a win at the moment, you don't have to poo-poo everybody else.
I'm just laughing. Atletico Madrid.
What?
Why? He'll be gutted. See, we ought to be gutted tonight, and we're going, I can't believe we did that today. Oh, no, that means we're going to have to do it again next week.
Oh, dear. You can be like this for the rest of the show now.
Oh, super positive. We're
allowed to be. Real Madrid tried to put a positive spin on that 2-1 victory that we saw them achieve, obviously, against Almeria. Front page of Marca saying the same Madrid as always. Well, it was in the end. Meanwhile, David Alaba grabbing the front page. Praise be. Kind of a bit of a pun on Alaba there, Stevie.
To be fair, I want to buy a free kick, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is what Alaba had to say. Before I came on, Ancelotti told me to take the free kick because I was going to score. After the goal, he said to me, see, I told you.
Oh, is that easy?
Brilliant. Did you do that? Did you think of that, Stevie, when you were coaching?
I wish I had. I wouldn't be sat here.
Very true. Obviously, first touch, comes on, scores a free kick. Ancelotti says that. Has a coach ever said anything like that to you, Ali?
What, to me?
No, I said, Ali, don't get near that.
Hey, Alejandro, why don't you go draw a foul? Maybe somebody else will take the free kick.
Stand on the wall and put them off.
I think the bigger point here and the bigger picture for Real Madrid is that they go down to Almeria 1-0, and I don't think any of us had any doubt that Real Madrid was going to come back in this game. As poorly as they may have been playing at times, it doesn't matter. And this is the certainty that this team now has on the field. We believe it when we're watching, and they believe it on the field that they're going to come back. Somehow, they're going to win. Even if it means that David Alaba is going to come off the bench and his first touch is going to be a perfect free kick, if that's what it takes, that's what this team does.
Just a reminder to keep up to date with all the latest La Liga news. You can go over to our YouTube channel. Be sure to go over there and subscribe. Plenty of content reflecting on the opening weekend in Spain.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Meanwhile, not surprisingly, when you take a look at the headlines in England after that 2-2 draw between Chelsea and Spurs, it's all about the fight between Thomas Tuchel and Antonio Conte. Of course, the trigger for that was some controversial decisions that we saw from the officials throughout the game. Don's still with us, and Mark Clattenburg joins us as well to take us through some of those big calls. I think we're going to go chronologically. That means in order, Don. Going to start with Bentancur on Havertz, Mark. Obviously, this wasn't given as a free kick. How did the officials miss it?
It's one of them where Anthony Taylor from one side looks like he's actually won the ball, but he's actually gone through the player to get a slight touch on the ball. So therefore, it's a foul. However, how many phases later before they're actually scored? So this is quite the argument that you'll have, is it has to be a foul that leads directly up to a goal. We can't just keep looking at every foul that happens and therefore 10, 20 phases later, there's a goal scored. We have to accept that. The referee's made a judgment call, which was wrong. It should have been a foul, but it leads a lot from that position to lead to a goal.
Okay, so I think everyone agrees that's a foul, but everyone also agrees there was obviously a couple of phases of play. Chelsea even had the ball, didn't they, before it was cleared out. Let's take it to whether or not Richarlison is offside. Is he interfering with play here?
This is one where Shaka Hislop will probably say 100% this is an offside. He's directly in the line of the vision of the goalkeeper. There, at this moment, I believe he is. When I first watched this, I thought, you know what, I can understand that where the Premier League and the Premier League officials see this, they automatically think because the ball's gone to the opposite side of the goal, they're therefore going to give the goal. So Mike Dean, as the VAR, has seen this. But what I do see is Richarlison is in the line of vision of the goalkeeper. He's interfering. And if this is going to be a tactic going forward, the match officials have to stop it. So therefore, I believe this should be given as offside.
Offside, do you agree, Stevie?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the goalkeeper loses sight of the ball because of the opposition who's in an offside position, then he's interfering.
Yeah.
So it's offside.
Don, you happy with that?
Yeah. Perfect explanation from the boys. I mean,
perfect.
He looked down the line, he looks as though he's impairing the goalkeeper's vision.
Okay, all right, there we are.
It's so clear that VAR, or the referee, or the assistant referee, what?
And then, of course, we saw Chelsea respond very quickly to Spurs getting the equaliser. Nice period of play. Well, Kulusevski, of course, loses the ball. Sterling then into Reece James. We then saw the celebration on the touchline, didn't we, from Thomas Tuchel as he was sprinting down the touchline to celebrate. Yes, we've seen the goal. We know. I want to see Thomas Tuchel sprinting. There he goes.
There he is.
Hey. There he is.
All right, go on.
There we go. Celebration there. Now, Antonio Conte took to Instagram to respond to that, saying, "Lucky I didn't see you. Making you trip over would have been well deserved," with three laughing emojis. That is really Conte, by the way, Steve. That's his real Instagram account. As a referee, how aware are you of what's going on the touchline between the managers, and how did you used to deal with it, Mark?
I think it's one where you leave it to the fourth official, simply as. But you know what? But let's have the passion. This is what makes the Premier League so special, that there is passion. There's passion between the coaches. We used to see it with Mourinho. We saw it many, many times. And I love this. And you know what? Probably it did spill over at the end. They both got the red cards. They both accepted. But during the game and the emotions, we all know I refereed this game many, many years ago, the Battle of the Bridge number one. I think this is now the Battle of the Bridge number two. And I think, you know what? Let's leave the passion. They've excited. They've scored. And for me, they're both out of order at the end, and they both got deserved red cards for what happened afterwards.
And what if he did trip him up?
Probably simulation, no? Give me a yellow card for tripping or a bit of simulation.
Yellow card for Tuchel falling over.
Does VAR participate if they don't catch the trip to begin with?
Oh, yeah. How much does the VAR intervene to see what's going on? Don, does it affect the players at all, what's going on between the managers on the touchline?
Yeah, it does, you know. It does. I think everyone in the stadium can feel there was loads of tension, and the dugouts at Stamford Bridge are really, really close together, and you can tell that they're two winners. I mean, if you're a Chelsea fan, you're over the moon. You've got Thomas Tuchel showing that passion. Likewise, if you're a Tottenham fan and you're seeing your manager, Antonio Conte, standing up to him, it makes you feel, I would imagine, proud as a supporter watching on, knowing you've got two winners in charge of your football teams. And for the players' point of view, yeah, it does. You can feel the heat on the pitch, and you can feel the atmosphere, and you see the managers at it. Then all of a sudden, the tackles are flying in. It definitely spices the game up, for sure.
OK, let's go to the late winner, shall we? Which, of course, came from a corner. But excuse me, before that corner...
Game time.
There was another corner. And during that incident, you can see here Cucurella getting his head pulled.
What?
Obviously, the only way VAR can intervene if they think it's going to be a red card for violent conduct. Nothing was given. And then from the resulting corner, obviously, Harry Kane then scores to give Spurs a point. What's the ruling here, Mark?
There's actually no rule. There's no rule on a pulling of the hair. This is the simple fact. But however, if we look at consistency, I think we'll go back to what, 2016 with Robert Huth and Marouane Fellaini. What a simplest situation there, where the FA, I think a day later after the match officials missed it, give them both a 3-match ban. So therefore, the consistency is that if you pull somebody's hair, it's going to be a red card and a 3-match ban. So we go back to this incident. Therefore, we're going to be consistent, even though it's not in the laws of the game. Pulling up somebody's hair in this way is a violent act, and therefore it should have been a red card. So we go back to the incident. Mike Dean, with this knowledge, should have informed Anthony Taylor there's a red card, issued the red card, and give a defensive free kick, and therefore it wouldn't have been a second corner, and therefore it wouldn't have been an equalising goal. I hope that makes sense, because it is quite complicated.
No, no, it does completely make sense. I suppose what doesn't make sense is, why isn't it in the laws? Why isn't it written there? Pulling of hair, red card, bosh, done. That takes any grey area away.
I think because you can't cover every situation in the laws of the game. What I think, it's a very unique situation, and I think we, PJ Moel, have to come out as a body and say, look, if somebody pulls the hair of an opponent, it's automatically going to be given as a red card, and I think everybody will accept it. If we look back what I said in 2016, there is an act which the Football Association did, so therefore it is a normal procedure that it would be given as a red card, but we forgot, it's been 6 years later, we haven't had another incident since. I think this is now we're aware of it again, the referees need to act, and if it happens in the future, a red card should be given.
Regardless of whether it's a law or not, about common sense, about Anthony Taylor, it's right in front of you. You don't have to hide behind VAR. It's right there. It's in front of you. You see it. If you're a referee and you're seeing the play right in front of you, and you see the hair of Cucurella snap back and his neck snap back in the way, in the manner in which it did, let's just assume that he doesn't see it. For some odd reason, he doesn't see it, which it seems impossible to me, but okay, he doesn't see it. But Mike Dean, don't hide in the loopholes of, well, this is not in the laws of the game. Somebody's hair just got pulled to the point to where his head snapped back. If that's not violent conduct, I don't know what is. 100% a red card.
But even so,
agreeing with all that, right?
Yeah.
There's one other problem I've got.
Okay.
There's actually four officials. And that doesn't even include Mike Dean.
Right.
What are the other three doing? Now, as far as I'm aware, and please correct me if I'm wrong, they're all mic'd up.
Right.
So you're telling me not one of the four officials on the field saw that? Because all it takes is the fourth official or one of the linesmen to go, by the way, Cucurella's just had his hair pulled. So none of them saw it. So what are they doing? Can you please tell me what they're doing if not one of the four officials on the field of play see that?
And it's not away from the...
That is not acceptable.
It's not away from the ball either. It's right there.
It's right there.
It's where the ball is going to be. You're following the sequence of the play. You should be able to see this unless you're not wanting to see it.
Mark?
No, I agree. I think, forget about, even if we can talk about it's a red card or not, it's a basic free kick that when the ball comes in, the attacker's clearly fouled the defender, and therefore it should have been a foul. So forget it's a red card or not. We can discuss this, but it should at least be a defensive free kick, and therefore Tottenham Hotspur wouldn't have got the second goal.
Don? Yeah, I think it's quite basic, Dan. I mean, you can't be running around a football pitch pulling people's hair and saying, well, that's okay, you just get on with it. You know, it's violent conduct, you can't do it. And Ali's explained it perfectly. I mean, it could have done a little bit more damage. I know it sort of gets laughed at because you say, oh, it's just pulling someone's hair. Well, it's not. He could have got a serious injury as he fell there, Cucurella. But for the officials to miss that one, referee on the pitch should see it, but he doesn't. And as the guys have explained, that's what VAR's there for. They should have told him that is violent conduct and a red card, surely.
You going to say something, Steve?
No. I should have a bit of wind. Excuse me.
I bet you're glad you're in Egypt, Mark. Which I was. Finally, of course, we saw at the end the handshake of Wanda. Tuchel not happy because Conte didn't look him in the eye. Look me in the eye, yes, and it all kicks off. Do they really need red cards here, Mark?
I know. It probably makes it worse because everybody else gets involved. I wish they just left them at it. It was quite amusing. It was enjoyable. It's the heat of the battle. I love to see this, and you know what? But we'll have to protect the image of the game, and people around the world are watching this. Children are watching this, so I can understand why there's two red cards. But you know what? I just love this passion. I love what these type of managers bring to the game.
And they're suspended now, obviously, Mark, for their next games.
Yeah, I think it's an automatic one-match suspension, so they'll probably be both missing one match. But you know what? You know, they'll forget about it. It's one match. They'll get on with it. But it'll be interesting whoever referees the next game or whoever's the fourth official for the next game, because there's no love lost, that's for sure.
No, it's fun, as you say. It's good to see. Meanwhile, it wasn't just in the Premier League. We saw some questionable decisions this weekend. La Liga kicked off on Friday with the weirdest penalty that was awarded, especially when La Liga have come out this season to say they're not going to give any little penalties, no soft ones. Okay. But this year, look at that. Whoa, what? Horrible arm.
What?
Horrible arm in the face. Talk about making a fuss out of nothing, Mark.
Yeah, it looks like if you watch some of the La Liga football matches so far, that happened this weekend. There seems to be a lot of arms. I don't know if the Spanish Football Federation have spoke to the referees and tried to act a bit more with the arm in the face. But for me, yes, there's an arm out. They're both fighting for the ball. He feels a little bit of contact. He throws himself down. For me, you would never see this in the Premier League. And for me, I don't think it's a penalty.
Oh, my goodness, don't give us that nonsense. Oh, you'll never see in the Premier League, the perfect Premier League.
Or you know, and I don't mind the fact that Mark brings up the idea that the passion that you see in the Premier League.
Yeah.
But it's not just specific to the Premier League.
No.
It's not the only league in the world that has passion. Come on, Mark.
There you go, Mark. Take that. And finally, let's take you through the Barcelona game. Busquets getting sent off for the second yellow here. What did you make of this? No one in the studio thought this was going to be a red, Mark.
Yeah, this is what I've just said about looking at the Spanish way. The referees seem to be very, very hard on arms towards the face. But what we used to do as referees, we used to look at, is the arm with a clenched fist, using it as a weapon where you put the arm into the face with pace, with force. This is just an arm with an open hand. It's a loose arm towards the neck, and this would always be given as a yellow card. So unless La Liga have changed their stance on what they're going to give as a red card towards the arm and the face, this even in any other competition would never be given as a red card.
Mark, and your anti-La Liga ways, thank you very much for joining us. Just a reminder, a new season means Monday Musings is back. Be sure to check out Gab's must-read article over on the website. Gab's still not, though, available for the Gab and Jules show.
Okay.
Nader's wearing some short shorts.
Okay, all right.
Goodness me. Alongside Jules, be sure to check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. Meanwhile, Juventus opened their campaign in Italy with a comfortable 3-0 victory over Sassuolo. Vlahovic with a brace. Di Maria marking his debut at his new side with a goal as well. Don, how impressed were you with Juventus?
They were good, Dan. It took them a little while to get going. The first 20 minutes, they were quite poor, and De Frel probably should have scored for Sassuolo off a Berardi cross. And then they sort of got their act together. They struck one or two passes together. Di Maria's goal, if you haven't seen it, is really, really lucky. Sort of crossed to the far post on his left foot, and he drills it into the floor, bounces over the goalkeeper. But it sort of set the tone. The atmosphere then got really sort of heated and quite noisy in the Allianz. And then from then on, they sort of went through the gears. Vlahovic played really, really well. He got his penalty, scored a good goal in the second half. But there were some really good performers. Weston McKennie played well. Locatelli played well in midfield. But the two that stood out for me, I thought Di Maria was amazing. He was trying Rabonas, he was trying flicks. The home crowd were loving him. But Vlahovic got the two goals. It was second half more so impressive than the first 20.
Who's going to win the league, Don?
I mean, Juve, for me, don't look the same side until Chiesa's back. So he's coming back from an ACL. They need to sign one or two players. I mean, one or two players linked this week. I still think Inter are favourites, even though Milan won it last year. I think Inter, with Lukaku being back, with Dzeko, with Lautaro Martinez, are still strong. They still score goals, still got a quality midfield. It'll be tight, don't get me wrong. But I think if you said to me now who the favourites, I think Inter.
Don, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder then of the results of this weekend. Juventus, not only side that won on Monday, we saw Napoli thrash Hellas Verona by 5-2. No draws in the opening weekend in Italy.
Oh, okay.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Don is back with us. Extra Time is next with the boys answering some of your questions.
Franco Fragapane.
No, I thought so.
There you go. Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. Stevie and Ali with me in the studio. Don, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Apart from the room I'm in, it's Baltic.
Oh, they've been very cold.
To wear shorts.
Oh, you got your legs out as well.
It's freezing.
Let's see them,
yeah,
Don. Let's see those legs. Come on.
So,
oh, come on.
It's
show
so
us those legs.
Cold. It's so cold. Can you?
Your legs
I can't
like
get up on the chair. Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Can you see?
Oh. No! Oh.
There you go.
Hey, hey. I can see your
shorts.
Legs. Not your back straight.
I know, but I can't get my legs up that high.
Oh, was that
hang
is
on,
that hurry?
Oh. There we go.
Oh, look at that.
What is happening?
Beautiful.
It's all, that's it.
What tattoos are on your legs, Don?
Freezing.
Oh. All time low.
Oh, I can't get it up. I can't get it up that high, Dan. Oh. Hang on.
Here we go. Right. What is it?
What is it?
I could just see your foot. twist more.
Well,
it's like,
hang on.
This is like Pilates.
Just tell us what
it's a yoga session.
There you go.
There.
What is it? Buckingham there Palace Gates?
No, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the design is. It's sort of like, I don't know what it is. Got a girlfriend's name, boys' names on it.
A lot of thought's gone into that then, Don.
What's on your arm?
Oh, he's got strawberry, hasn't he, on his arm?
Oh,
he's got a big strawberry.
Why?
Because he loves Wimbledon. A tribute to the tennis.
Yeah.
It's freezing.
For Stevie, is Liverpool missing Mane more than people may have expected?
Well, the easiest answer is, well, if Mane comes off the left-hand side,
yes.
A certain Luis Diaz comes off the left-hand side now,
right,
and scored as good a goal as Mane's ever scored. So you can't turn round and say that they're missing Mane right now.
But Mane, Luis Diaz and Salah would all play together fine, though, wouldn't they?
Did he listen to what I said there?
Well, yeah, you're suggesting Mane would get in the team.
For ever and a day, Mane come off the left-hand side.
Right, yes.
And scored some great goals.
Yes, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But what did Luis Diaz do today?
But what I'm saying is...
I don't care what you're saying. You asked me a question. The question is, are they missing Mane?
And you're saying no because they got Luis Diaz.
And I just told you...
They don't need Mane, right?
I believe, used to come off the left-hand side and score goals, right?
Did Mane, Diaz, and Salah ever play?
And the question is, what did Luis Diaz do today? Oh, he came off the left-hand side and scored goals.
Right, so they're not missing Mane?
So, no.
No? No, you agree, Don? No problem?
Yeah. Stevie nailed it.
Oh, you just want to get in the warm.
Freeze. I'm so cold.
Don and Stevie, is this the season where City completely run away with the league? Don, what do you think?
Can we say this? We're two games in. I mean, we'd have to be going ridiculously early if we're going to say City are just going to run away with it. They've never run away with it apart from what, once, I think, when Liverpool done the same. Pretty I just good. Think these two teams are like elite.
They've never
so
run
close.
Away with it, apart from the time that they did run away with it.
No, I don't mean at the four of the five times. I don't mean four of the five times they've won the Premier League. They've not won it by like 10, 15 points. It'll be tight, it'll be close.
How many points are still to play for, Don?
Here we go.
108.
There you go.
You know he's had this number ready.
Well, it's because he had 111, didn't he, last week? Yeah. So I just say three off each time. Yeah. Yeah. As a player, exactly. What effect did altercations like the one of Conte Tuchel have on the players? Stevie?
Well, as we said on the show, at the time, you love it as a player.
Right.
You see your manager fighting.
Yep.
Or arguing. Or
did you upset. Have any managers that did that, though?
They got upset. Well, you just had to look at the bench and see the face.
Right.
And if they weren't fighting with the opposition, he wasn't happy at you. So
okay.
But it's great to see that. As far as turning up on Monday morning for training, you can't wait to take the mickey out the manager. Why didn't you punch him?
Do you think that still is a thing? Can you imagine?
Oh, God, I hope so.
I can't imagine anyone going to Antonio Conte. Why didn't you punch him?
I would be shocked if Antonio Conte doesn't have a completely different connection with the players than the one that we see.
Really?
Aye. I mean, absolutely.
I would hope.
You can't have this authoritarian, straight-faced, moaning-faced.
Right. Capello did, didn't he? Capello had that
time.
Persona.
I would hope.
I don't see it. There has to be some sort of cool period where everybody's relaxed,
right.
And you have a,
he starts cracking
a laugh
jokes.
And a joke. I'm not saying he's cracking jokes, but has to be.
Right.
Well, I would hope that we still live in a world in which players can get together and bring a pair of boxing gloves and hang it on the door of the manager's office.
Right.
I hope that we still live in that sort of world. Because otherwise it would be a big, big shame.
Don?
Yeah, no, I was thinking exactly the same thing. I'm thinking, what would I have done as a player to my manager, Antonio Conte, after that? And it would be exactly what Ali said. It would be go in the gym, get a set of boxing gloves, go in his office and put them on his desk.
I'd love to hear Don's odds in a Tuchel versus Conte flyweight title fight. Tuchel has the height and reach advantage with that German precision. Conte has the fiery attitude, and what he lacks in size, he makes up for in sheer will. Close fight. What's the percentages, Don?
I would go 70-30 Conte's favour.
Right.
I think he's like a little pit bull. Yeah, I think he's a pit bull. I mean, I get the reach. But I think he'd grab him by the ankles, he'd take Tuchel down, and then that's it, game over.
Yeah, I'm looking at this as Tuchel's going to try to be the technician, you know, just out there. But then once Conte gets inside, it's all to the body.
Yep.
That's it, it's game over, TKO. I think Conte wins it and wins it running away.
Yeah.
Dead easy. Who would you rather fight? Tuchel.
Yeah, fair. Don, what happened to your Galacticos at Manchester?
Now you see, someone tweeted that me the other day. I was saying it sort of, they think they're Galacticos. That's
no,
what I meant
no,
by it.
No,
not their Galacticos.
No,
but I did, that's what
no,
I meant. No, I did, I meant,
no,
I meant people
no,
like,
no.
I did, I meant people like Bruno, they all think they're Galacticos.
Oh.
I was thinking in their heads, they think they're Galacticos. I'm not going to turn around apart from Ronaldo. Ronaldo is the only Galactico they've got.
You don't even believe your own argument, Don.
I probably didn't explain it very well, but what I meant was,
well,
they
believable.
Think they're Galacticos.
That part I believe.
That's what I meant.
For all, have you played for a team that one particular player had massive control over the dressing room, like President Mbappe? Do you have someone like Liverpool who, like, it was Kenny Mbappe-esque at all?
No, not at all.
No?
It was just the older heads.
Right.
Aye.
The more the veterans.
Yeah. Not one, no.
No? Don?
The only one that comes to mind was when Glenn Rhoda was managing Paolo Di Canio. Now, Paolo Di Canio is adored and idolised by West Ham fans. They absolutely love him, and rightly so. But Paolo could be a bit of a nightmare in the dressing room. He could be quite volatile. You're never quite sure which Paolo was going to turn up every single day. You were like, eggshells, is it the good Paolo? Is it the Paolo Di Canio that's going to ruin a training session? And he didn't play too many away games north Paolo, and we sort of started got wind of it where it was actually quite frustrating, where you go to Anfield, Paolo didn't turn up, Paolo was ill, or you go to Man United, Paolo was ill, and we carried him for quite a while, and he was quite smart, Paolo. What he would do is he wouldn't play at Anfield or Man United, but then when we played Charlton at home, all Paolo's fit, and because he was so good, he scored two or three goals, and right. He was outstanding. But the dressing room sort of got a little bit peeved with him and a little bit frustrated with him. And I think in the end, I think he got on the manager's nerves, and I think Glenn thought about moving him on. But at the same time, if Glenn had moved him on, the West Ham fans wouldn't have forgiven Glenn, and it would have been a hard one for them to take, seeing Paolo Di Canio move on through the manager's decision. So in the end, he had to just swallow it and go, just got to let Paolo do his thing, basically.
So the players didn't really police that too much, Don?
Looking back, Dan, you always have regrets in your career, and we should have done a lot more. We should have, but Paolo was quite a strong character, and not as in, like, you know, physically strong that he could fight anyone. But Paolo was quite stubborn in his ways, and if Paolo said, I was ill, I can't play at Liverpool, or I can't play at Man United, I can't play at St James's Park, or I can't play at Elland Road, it was a northern thing, he just didn't do it, and the stats were quite alarming and not good for him. And we should have done a lot more, but I mean, at the same time, Dan, it's one of them, it's like Di Canio, it's like if you get on the wrong side of him and put his nose out of joint, he could quite literally just go, I get my bag, I'm going home, you'll never see me again. But he was a brilliant player, so we sort of needed him.
Wait, he was Paolo when he was at West Ham, Don, because I played with him at Sheffield Wednesday. And he wasn't like that at Sheffield Wednesday.
Right. What was he at Sheffield? What, 29, 30?
I don't know, but there was nothing like that at all.
Was he at West Ham first and then Sheffield Wednesday?
No.
Right, other way around?
No.
No, by the way.
I think, yeah, Sheffield Wednesday signed him from Celtic.
Right.
And he actually was great in the dressing room.
Okay, so maybe it was Don. Maybe Don was the trigger.
Yeah, well, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of times he had meltdowns.
Right, yeah.
But nothing.
Well, but that's... It's when you become the established de facto superstar, that's when all these things start coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see this from Dan Thomas on a daily basis.
I don't think that's a fair comparison. I'm not the Paolo Di Canio of the ESPN FC.
No, I don't know. If we're picking who the Paolo Di Canio of ESPN FC is, it is not Dan Thomas. He's good friends with Stevie.
Stevie annoyed me today.
What?
Stevie today.
I lost it. He lost his composure.
I did lose my composure because I had to do something, a piece of camera, which was just off the top of my head, and I did it first time, no problem. Now, what was the problem with the piece of camera, Stevie? Do you want to show me what it was?
Yeah. I personally didn't know it was a problem.
Just take my camera for a moment. Let's take camera free. And then what was happening? Stevie was getting in my... There. Yeah, that was... Stevie getting in my...
See what? There's no way I was away out there.
No, I was like, there, look. You were like that. Watching TikToks or whatever it was.
There you go. So go back to your straight thing.
Yeah, get back to... What, no, Stevie, it's true. That's why we had to redo it, because you were there.
If you were any good, you would have done it the second time, easy peasy.
Well, yes, then I was in my head. Then I had to blame someone who wasn't me. So I had to blame you.
And you know what I think was...
to sort your head out. Well,
but Don, if you made a mistake like that and got in my shot, you'd apologise, wouldn't you?
Right. I think that's what was frustrating to Dan.
Yeah.
That Stevie did not acknowledge.
No, there was no apology. I'm sorry about that, Dan.
I really wish I could explain the look. Dan's got this look.
What did I tune in before? When I was setting my ears up before, I could hear Stevie and Ali chatting, and Stevie said, "My days are over. I'm finished." What was that?
That's something that we don't need to talk about on camera, really. I don't think.
clue, man. Scotsman, Englishman,
no, not the joke. No. All right. If you had to pick one occupation for the next year, what would you choose? Accountant for Barcelona? Ooh. Working in public relations for Manchester United? Oh. Or taking Dan's position as an IT specialist for Stevie?
Yeah, oh, no. That one.
I had to fix his phone again.
I had to do it again.
I had to fix your phone again.
I called him on Friday. On Thursday, yeah. I got this scam thing come up.
Yes, you
on
did.
On my phone.
Yes.
And I had no idea what to do.
A virus.
So I looked at the schedule.
Yeah.
And I saw I was in Saturday, and Dan was in Saturday.
There you
so
go.
For 2 days, I couldn't use my phone pretty much.
Yes.
So I waited to come in Saturday, and then Dan fixed it.
But I do know that Don is horrible at anything computer or technology as well, Don.
Yeah. Yeah. True, true.
I remember when you were here trying to do your COVID stuff, and you just didn't know what was going on.
Oh.
Honestly. Memories. The memories of it all.
Going online. Going online, putting numbers in, putting email addresses in. Oh, it's torture.
Torture.
Yes. Torture. Yeah, you had to get your girlfriend to do it in the end, didn't you, Don? So then you can't, actually, you might be good at as an accountant for Barcelona, given your lack of ability. What?
They kind of do percentages. How would be a good accountant?
Because Barcelona needs someone who don't really know what to do with numbers. Because that way, Don could make it all work.
Yeah, so they need another one.
Yep. Or public relations. You can just say Manchester United, full of Galacticos.
Yes.
There it is.
Oh, it's perfect. All done. It's all gone, these jobs have done, I know.
It's all gone full circle. Good. Hopefully we'll be back tomorrow.
We avoided a couple of difficult subjects.
Don, go and warm up. That's good. I don't know what's going on tomorrow. Jules will be here to talk about the Mbappe and Neymar situation.
Okay. All right.
Ooh, that's quite feisty, isn't it?